I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another brand fresh new episode straight out of the box of Is It Just Me? It's the podcast where we talk about all sorts of, you know the drill by now, all sorts of absolute rubbish. But isn't it funny how it's the rubbish that's the most important stuff? And today I have a kindred spirit with me on that very subject. We don't have James because he is unfortunately having several celebrity-related nervous breakdowns to do with his day job. So we'll be catching up more about that later. But I am joined by absolute broadcasting legend.
That makes me so old.
It's when not
somebody
though.
Says legend. It makes
you
me
are
feel
a
really
legend,
old.
But you are a legend.
Bless you.
And the thing is, now that you've spoken, I don't even really have to say who it is, do I? Everybody knows it's Gabby Bloody Roslin. Hello.
I love that as a middle name as well. I think that's probably what my husband thinks sometimes.
Really?
Yeah, probably. When I get out of bed in the morning, because I am that annoying person that gets out of bed and goes, morning, and starts singing musical theatre. And he sometimes thinks, oh, bloody go back to bed.
But see, when we don't live with you and we can just tune into that at our will and the right time for us on Instagram... That's actually a really fantastic tonic. But I can imagine it might be quite... That would be taxing for me.
I'm just thinking this morning, because our boiler's broken in the house, so it's actually quite cold again.
And I bet that you're...
No hot water.
But you're seeing the bright side of that, aren't you?
Yes. And I walked around this morning, driving my kids mad. I got up at 6:30 this morning, and I literally sung my way around the house because I was so cold. So I sung into my oldest daughter's bedroom, who's 3 weeks away from her first A level, and then sung into my second daughter's bedroom. I started tickling her, and then I heard David swearing and just going, can we just have a bit of no. And then we put on Chris Evans in the morning, and he's just as full of life and positivity because he ran the marathon yesterday. So the house was like that this morning.
And what did you sing?
So I sing very often, on a wonderful day like today.
Oh my God,
I
Gabby.
Defy any cloud to appear in the sky.
I'm afraid you are sounding more and more punchable by the second.
I'm not surprised.
I go in and I wake up my daughter, and I'm always scared to wake her up. I wake her up about 7 o'clock.
Yes.
And I can't, first of all, I have to find where the head is in the sausage roll of the
are you
duvet.
Kind? I bet you're a kind waker.
I am quite kind, actually, and I think a lot of people would be surprised about that. But I don't tickle because I'm going to get a kick in the face.
Do you ever sit on top of her?
Well, I accidentally, because I just can't make out which, and you know, I've done things like accidentally grabbed a boob, which has got me in huge trouble because I think that, you know, I'm sort of like going for the head, but I'm in the wrong spot.
Yeah.
But my husband, it sort of like goes in and barks at her, but I go in, sort of like pat her head and give her a kiss and say, darling, it's 7 o'clock. Like, because I'm sort of scared
of
it.
Oh, you're so sweet. I do with my oldest. If I'm not singing and she's still lying in bed, I sit on her.
Right.
She's 17. Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah. And you're like sparrow weight.
Sit on her. I literally, she says, Mom. So look, when you go to university, you're going to miss this. She goes, no, I'm really not. I said, right, I'm going to FaceTime you when you have to wake up and I'll sit on the phone. She just goes, Mom, if people really, now, well, people do know. I tell people, it's no secret. I am annoyingly happy. But years ago, I used to apologize for it. And then I stopped apologizing.
And why do you think, what do you think it is about you that gives you that sunny disposition?
Do you know, I don't know. People do ask me that.
But and you've
I
made a career out of it as well, you know?
Yeah, and I was like that as a child. I don't really mope. I probably worried far much more until I had kids and then I stopped worrying.
Yeah. See, that's when I started worrying.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people say. I don't know where maybe I didn't have time to worry about myself so I could, it was about them.
Right.
So I stopped worrying about maybe what other people thought and what, because going into the industry that I always knew I wanted to go into, and it wasn't about fame, it was about making people happy.
Yeah.
It was about fun and laughter. That's always how I thought it. But I was like that as a child. I enjoy life. I think my parents were like that as well. And then when my mum died when I was 32, I remember saying to a journalist quite soon after that, because they always said, oh, you always this happy. And I say, yes, I am, sorry. And then I said to the next journalist who interviewed me, and I said, yeah, I am. And I'm never saying sorry again.
Yeah.
Because you don't know when your life is going to end.
Yeah, or when it's going to change. But you must have had tough times.
Yes, like I have.
You've just
Death
described
of my
one.
Mom.
Yeah.
And that was awful. I had both my parents with cancer, different cancers in different hospitals at the same time. And when I talk about that now, I feel as if I'm talking about somebody else or a film I've seen,
like,
or
looking
a book
down
I've
on
read.
Something. Yeah. Yeah.
Because it was awful. There was no worse time in my life. And so Dad had bowel cancer and survived. And the day that he got the all clear, Mum died. Mum died of lung cancer, smoking related lung cancer. But she also had something called scleroderma, and she had a blood clot on the lung that was hiding the cancer.
Mm.
And also at that time, the press decided that it would be better if I was dead, because there was a whole thing in the papers. How would you kill Gabby? And I remember thinking, I'm not going to read this anymore, because life is far more horrific than this. And I was terrified that my parents would see that when they were struggling with what they were struggling with. But you know what? We got through all of that. We came out the other side. My dad is now 23 years clear of bowel cancer.
Yeah, it's amazing.
He had two strokes after that, because he got C. diff in a hospital. So he got a superbug as well while he was in hospital and had a stroke from that. But yeah, he was around last night for supper playing chess with my youngest daughter. We were all watching the Durrells. It was, you know, it's fine. You just get on.
I'm just amazed that, isn't it funny that you do read things in media and online where, you know, oh, how would you kill Gabby Roslin? And I think the people who write it are almost, they've forgotten that there's a human being at the end of that sentence.
Oh, without a doubt. And it was women. It was women. And I do feel it's changed. I do. I love that. It's your face as a journalist.
I just went,
we have a mutual, very dear friend who's a journalist, and I always talk to Jane about it and say, how can some people write that? What is it about a woman that doesn't support another woman, or doesn't support people? I mean, I know everybody talks about the sisterhood, but actually, shouldn't it be women supporting women, women supporting men,
the
men
humanhood.
Supporting women? Yes.
Yeah.
We should all, Chris Evans does it. And weirdly, I was talking to somebody on the phone walking here. But Chris does it. Chris is about spreading the love, sharing the joy. And I think that's probably why we both got on so well, because it is. Shouldn't we all just be nice to each other?
I'm struggling to think of a better sort of chemistry pair than you and Chris. Can't you do something together again? Can't you?
Do you know, it's very funny. I did an interview in a sister Sunday magazine yesterday, and she
you
asked
traitor.
The same thing.
Get
I know,
out.
I know.
Yeah.
And she asked the same thing. And we've always said never. Probably not, but you can never say never. So I don't know. It was a long, long time ago.
But I just feel like, take that, All Saints, Spandau Ballet, all the greats are back together.
It's very funny. So I love that everybody still holds us in their hearts. It's really, really incredibly touching. And when I went on his show last week, Ricky from Kaiser Chiefs was there, and suddenly we were all chatting in the studio, and he said, oh, I'm sitting between Chris and Gabby. And Chris and I looked at each other and slightly blushed and laughed and thought, people still think Chris and Gabby, which is incredible.
But when I first got to London to live here in 1992, and I think about...
when it launched.
Yeah, and I remember, and I probably wasn't the only one thinking this, but I thought it was because I wasn't English, but I was watching it and just thinking, I've never seen anything like this. I really feel like I'm in a country that speaks the language and I know people here, but that was the first time I thought, God, I'm really in Britain. This is so, I've never seen television like this. I've never seen the tone and the humor. And you know,
TV lacks it now.
Yeah.
And I don't mean The Big Breakfast, but I think TV's too safe. I think the dramas are fantastic, but I don't think there's enough naughty television. And I mean naughty as in cheeky, that gets you off guard, but you know it's completely safe to leave your granny or your youngest child there. There's no event TV like it was, apart from BGT, which I think is great. It's old-fashioned entertainment. But I don't think there's anything that's risky. And I think that's
still
a shame.
I still feel rather manipulated often by Britain's Got Talent. Do you know what I mean? I think I can see the levers now, so I don't enjoy it as much as I did.
Do you know what? I do with the other shows. But Britain's Got Talent and Strictly, I just get carried away with. And we all laugh and we all cheer, and there is something unique, which shouldn't be unique, that the whole family sits down to watch it.
But you do bring, I mean, and I've been on your radio show on Sunday afternoons, BBC London, a couple of times now, and it's like a little party.
Well, that's what I suppose it's my dream TV show on the radio. That's what I always say. Unfortunately, TV don't do those sort of shows at the moment. Hopefully,
wouldn't it be
come
great
back.
Though?
It's no lie that that's my dream. That's what I'd like to do every day of the week, early evening, that sort of show. Just because people want escapism and they want laughter, but they also want a bit of take home. I suppose with my quiz show comes back on in July. Comedy panel show with Alistair McGowan, Ronnie Ancona, Gabby's Talking Pictures. That they hopefully they have a laugh listening to it on Radio 4, but they also get some take home, so they'll learn something about the movies. They'll also have a laugh. They'll also be able to escape reality, which I think we all need. There's so many awful things happening.
Yeah.
You know, you pick up the newspaper, you read the, you know, you read the awful stories, you see the horrific pictures, you listen to the news, and we just need a bit of fun.
And that's why on this podcast we don't talk about any of that.
Yes, me neither. Me neither. I was invited to talk about a certain American president the other day, and I said I'm not going to talk about it.
Not going to.
I do with friends and family. We all do. I'm the B word, but no.
I just can't even. Should we do some topics?
Yes,
or
please.
Is it just me?
Let's go for it.
Talk about fun things, not orange presidents. Right. So, Gabby Roslin, is it just me who, and is this okay or not? I just don't know. I think I still own underwear from the 90s. Now, it's sort of like a hygiene and a style ponderance for me.
It's not. You know what it is? It's the C word.
What do you mean?
It's comfy.
Comfy.
It's comfy. Well, old pants are comfy.
What C word you were going to talk about. No, it's just, for me, I think it's just such an uninspiring purchase, sort of like the everyday underwear. And I looked in my drawer and thought, I actually have had these since 1995. And we need a microbiologist. If there are any microbiologists listening, is there a point where no matter how many times you wash them, it's just still a bit gross if you've had them for 20 years.
They're comfy.
Yeah.
Comfy pants. And also, do you mix and match? Do you match your underwear?
Oh, no.
I've never done that either.
Oh, I mean, occasionally, but, you know.
I don't have
happy
any.
Happy accident, yeah.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. I've had stick on this show before for, because I still wear G-strings as well.
So do I.
Yay!
Yeah.
And see, we're 90s girls, that's the thing.
Do you know what colour mine are?
I don't know, grey, I imagine.
Orange, pink, every bright colour.
How could I
neon.
Have got that wrong? I was just thinking, if you're like me with sustainability, so they've kind of like things that might have started pink are no longer pink. But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I find it's just one of those purchases that I just can't get inspired by.
No, I have never.
Does that mean I'm not very sexy? I don't know.
No, You're very sexy because you're sexy inside your body and the way you look on the outside. It doesn't matter about... Does it matter about your underwear?
Gabby Rosin's coming on to me, everybody.
I've never understood the whole underwear thing. I am sorry to all the underwear aficionados and all the people who love underwear and people who have always said to me they cannot believe I don't... that I mix and match. My bras are the frumpy bras... And they so don't match my pants.
Yeah, no, I've never understood. Occasionally, if I do have sets, but I've very... Because I wear bras with more frequency than the underwear.
Do you not wear pants every day?
Yeah, I mean...
What do you mean? So you go commando.
No. There's too many. I own too many zippers for that business. I just mean that, you know, you've put a set on. And the bra might go back into the underwear drawer while the knickers go in the wash. So inevitably, they don't all match up anyway.
I don't have one matching set.
Do you not?
No, never done.
Now, that does surprise me.
No, that's too neat for me.
So you wouldn't go into M&S or somewhere and buy a new bra and the knickers that go with at the same time?
No, I never, ever have done in my whole life. I've never had.
Well, this is a revelation.
There we go. But I do go to M&S for my pants.
Yeah. And then I remember once years ago, somebody buying my grandmother these big sort of like industrial size underpants for her birthday because she was a practical old soul and she wanted pants. Yeah. So that's what she got. And she opened them up and my father went, oh, wow, look, Mum, polishing cloths. Because he remembers like when he was a kid that any old underpants that she had would turn into polishing cloths.
Oh, perfect. I can't wear big pants though.
Well, thankfully, yeah, more mine are still too small to ever end up drying dishes or wiping down surfaces. Yeah.
No, I it's a weird thing about underwear. I've never, ever been precious about it. I've never spent a fortune on it. I've never matched and they're all very old.
I have a feeling that James Williams would have some very strong views on all of this. He's a rather fastidious gay man.
Yes, but his underwear, I bet it's immaculate.
Well,
does he iron?
I've never seen it.
Do you iron your underwear?
No, do you?
No.
My grandmother used to do that. Yeah. She used to iron it for me and stick it on my bed.
My mum used to iron underwear.
I don't understand that at all.
No.
What else? Are people who iron sheets, tea towels.
Sheets, yes.
Yeah. No, I never iron sheets.
Really?
Is that wrong?
I don't think there's anything right or wrong, but I like a crispy sheet.
Yeah, but that's a big old day at the ironing board, isn't it?
Can I just tell you, I never iron.
Oh, no.
I flick, hang, and then hanger.
Yeah. Everything. I iron as I go, yeah.
Or hairdryer.
Oh.
So well, I do Shop Smart at the moment on Thursday nights on Channel 5. And when I turn up, I get up north, and then I wake up in the morning, wake up very early for my makeup call, going to do the show. But every single time I get there, I don't take an iron. I hang it over the chair the night before and then I get the hairdryer on it for the top I'm wearing.
Well, that is a game-changing life tip for me. Yeah. Yeah. What other hacks you got?
That's probably about it.
I'm going to try that one.
Oh, it's very easy. Yeah.
But probably I will probably not try it on my underwear.
Oh, I tell you what I do have. Because yesterday I was full of static. So I said yesterday on Instagram... Everything, because all the heating's gone in the house and the hot water's gone. We don't have a boiler. So everything's full of static because we had some fan heaters on. So everybody on Instagram was saying, run your clothes over a metal hanger.
Oh.
Never tried it. I'm going to.
No, well, my tip for static is hairspray.
It doesn't work.
It does for me.
No, it doesn't for me.
It's not a very pleasant sensation when you're sort of like spraying it down the bum crack of your trousers.
No.
But it does work.
I've tried that. I've tried the spray, the anti-static spray, but it smells.
Yeah, no, I've never done that.
I don't think it's very
friendly. The L-Net smells nice at least, even if it doesn't work.
Yeah, it works on my hair, but I've tried, no, it doesn't work.
You see how many conclusions we don't come to on this show?
Yes, none.
I think we should move on from pants.
Yes. Is it just me who doesn't dream of moving to the country?
Oh, who are these people?
I don't get it.
I don't get it either. Nice place to visit.
To visit?
There's no Zara. Yes.
No. Yeah. And there's no London. All my friends who've done it, I love going to stay with them, but they all want to come back to London to visit.
Yep.
But I don't want to be the visitor. I want to be the visitor the other way.
What do you think the dream is that people are... looking for when they... And we're not just talking about London versus the country. I know, you know, I've got friends in Australia and America who just want to get out of a city. The dream is to get out of the city.
Yeah, I love cities. Yeah. New York, I've never been to Australia, I have to say, but New York, I love. Hong Kong, I thought was really exciting. San Francisco, cities. I love cities. Yeah. Manchester, I mean, we've got fantastic cities around the UK and we've got beautiful countryside. And I love to go down to Cornwall. I love the Yorkshire Dales. But I still am pulled back to the city. I think it's because I'm London born and bred and city born and bred. But I think the ideal that we all have is that escape. Because London can get too much.
Yeah.
New York, anyway, it can. Manchester, Glasgow can get too much. And you just need that headspace. And I think, very sweeping statement, but I think that my walking has helped me with that. Because I walk every single day, I've upped it now to about 8 or 9 miles a day.
Wow.
And I think that that's helped with that slightly citified claustrophobia. And I don't need it, really, because we've got so many green parks here. Yeah. And, you know, if you walk, I walked when we went up to Glasgow recently, to Edinburgh, Manchester. I love Manchester. Brighton, you know, everywhere's got their city feel.
Yeah.
But also you can get out, you can see green, you can look at the sky, look around you. And I think that the thing that everybody wants... So number one is escape. Number two is to live in a bestseller.
What do you mean?
Well, do you remember when we were all growing up and there were bestsellers that had this country house that the friends came to visit, and it was everybody sat around on a Friday night from the end of the week, and there was a big meal laid out on this grand table, and everybody sort of dug in and ate and everyone was talking and there was lots of alcohol flowing.
And lots of people going, oh.
Yes. And yeah. It was sort of a fantasy. And then you see the films like that and you see the TV shows like, oh, wouldn't that be wonderful? But how wonderful is it in reality? I'd love to hear from people who've done it.
I'm going to say something slightly controversial now. Is that
you, really?
I know. Sorry, everyone. Can't shut the Aussie up. But no, it's... what I object to is being made to feel like somehow I'm just not seeing the bigger picture enough, or I haven't got my priorities right if I don't want to leave the city. There's this assumption that if you're bringing your children up out of a city, then that's a much more caring, nurturing thing to do. And I can't bear all that superiority about it.
Well, I have to say I completely agree with you. Yeah. I don't like... See, but I think it comes down to being judgmental. I really, really hate judgmental people.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Well, even though I just made a judgment, but you know.
No, you didn't, because you want to do what you want to do and you're not telling them that they can't do that.
No, no.
Or you're not putting them down for doing it.
No, no, no.
And you're not judging them.
But there's a lot of people who've moved say things to me like, I just had to really look at what was the most important thing, you know. And sort of, so if you are somebody for whom career or having a metropolitan life is important, then that's somehow not as cool, or more shallow, I think, is what I'm taking.
That we are.
Yeah, that's what sometimes I'm taking away from those conversations.
Yeah, and I find that very sad. I don't want anybody else to tell me what I'm doing, and maybe I've made mistakes as a parent. My goodness me.
Well, that tickling for a start.
Yeah, sitting on my daughter. I've made huge mistakes, and maybe we should have spent more time out of London. But actually, I think being a city person hasn't done me too much harm, really.
No.
But we do get out. We do travel. We do travel around the UK as well. But I think that people who live out of town, they can do what they want. I don't want them to tell me that I'm making the wrong decision for my children.
Yeah.
I hope I've made the right decision.
Yeah, yeah. I just, you know, I wouldn't be able to make a living in what I do if I didn't live in a city. I think that's a reality.
I miss the theatre. I love theatre.
Yeah.
I love exhibitions. I love the hustle and bustle. I love people.
Yeah.
I need people around me. Yesterday, coming back on the tube from the radio show, it was packed with people who've just done the marathon, who just run the marathon. And we were all congratulating them. I was on the tube with a friend of mine who'd been on the show, and we were high-fiving all these people and finding out their stories and their times. And I think that's why I love London.
And that's, to be honest, that's changed a lot since I moved to London. I think the London I moved into, nobody spoke to each other. But I don't know what's happened. I don't know if it is just the explosion in population, but that has really changed, I'd say, in the last 5 or 10 years.
I talk to everybody when I walk.
Yeah.
Absolutely do. I'm always making comments, not judgments, making comments. I'm so anti. And I stop myself sometimes because I feel myself suddenly thinking, oh, goodness me, why did they do that? But I won't. I stop myself in my tracks. My husband, years and years and years ago, when I first met David, we were in Italy, in Rome, and there was a woman who was in her, I would say in her 80s, late 80s, and she was wearing very, very, very short shorts with her bottom hanging out and very high heels and a bikini top. And I said to David, wow, look at her. At her age, that's really quite
something. That was my best look, I'll have you know.
Yeah. You're not that age. You're so far from that age. And he said, well, why are you even pointing it out? And I felt so bad. And I said, actually, I was celebrating her and thinking how good. He said, well, then just say, doesn't she look great?
Mm.
And actually, he was right. And I always do that now.
It's funny that actually, I think that that's a real woman thing that women are conditioned to do a lot of the time.
But I was celebrating her. Yeah, I thought, good for you. I wouldn't do it at my age. But I'm good for her. But I shouldn't have said, look at her age doing that. I should have just said, look, doesn't she look marvellous?
I'm kind of thinking I might get my bottom out when I'm about 80.
Do you get your bottom out now?
No. In my G-strings, when I just don't care anymore. Don't you think?
Yeah, I think once you've had kids, though, you feel slightly differently about that. I'm sure all the guys listening to this will be thrilled by this.
Yeah.
But do men feel less conscious of their body the older they get?
I think they do. Mm. I don't, maybe that's changing. I don't know. But I do see people on the beach sometimes and think, okay, what? I wish I just could bottle your confidence.
Yes. Oh, I completely agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm always self-conscious on the beach. Always.
Me too.
Oh, well.
Always.
And I don't wear a G-string on the beach.
No, I wear one piece.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
Full one piece. Yeah. Always has been.
Where did we end up? So anyway, I'm not going to be moving to the country anytime soon, but all my friends, can I still please come and visit you in the country?
Yes,
even the ones who feel that I'm very sad and pathetic for still living in the city.
Me too.
I still love you.
Can I come to your friends as well?
Yeah, actually.
I didn't mean your friends.
Yeah.
I meant my friends, but yeah.
But hi, Robert. You should be listening. I haven't been to your country house for ages. Where's the invite?
Robert.
I'm just going to turn up.
Yeah, Robert, I'm coming too.
Yeah.
Who's Robert?
Robert Johnston.
Oh, right. Okay.
Out and named and shamed. He hasn't invited me to his beautiful country cottage for ages.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
All right. So is it just me, Gabby Roslin, who never, ever knowingly reads anything like an instruction manual or the terms and conditions? And is that a bad reflection on me as a human being?
I hope it's not, because I'm the same.
Oh, it's so boring.
My
right?
husband always says, did you read the instruction? No.
I know. Well, that's what husbands are for, clearly.
But you know what? I think I would say, sweeping statement, 95% of the things that I've put together, from flat packs to electric, whatever, it fits the way I put it together. I don't have the time. I am rushing from thing to thing to thing. I don't have time to read those things.
No, it's so dull and sometimes impenetrable. And I'm like you, the times I say put together something from an IKEA flat pack and I'm really satisfied and I've done it.
Yes.
And then you find the one little weird bit of metal.
There's always a screw left over.
You don't know where it goes and you think, oh, that'll be all right. And then 6 months later, the whole thing collapses because of that one metal thing.
No, I've got to say, it doesn't collapse.
Maybe I'll get you to come around and do my flat packs.
I love it.
Do you?
Yes. Oh, I remember years ago when I was a student working in a lighting shop. In fact, how that happened was I was working in Kensington High Street and it used to be a toy shop. And I worked in always ladies fashion. Then I decided I want to go to the toy shop because I wanted to be a kids TV presenter. That would be really good to say I've worked in a toy shop.
I love that focus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I worked in the toy shop. It closed and became an electrical shop.
Was it your fault that it closed?
Lighting shop. Probably because I laughed too much and played the toy. and talked to every kid and thought, I'm presenting.
Yay.
But I then became a lighting shop. And there was one day when they were doing the fit and they said, can you change a plug? And I said, of course I can. That was one of the things that my mum, who's very practical, she did everything around the house. My dad didn't. Still can't change a light bulb, my dad. And my mum did everything. So she taught us how to change a plug, how Amazing. To do all of those things, put pictures up, anything. We did it all. So I did, and I did 147 in a day.
My God, is that in the Guinness Book of World Records?
Should be.
It should be, shouldn't it? Yeah. Hopefully it's on your showreel.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll do it. Do you know, I wonder if I could still do it?
Oh, I don't know how to
Green,
do it.
Green, right, blue,
yeah.
left.
Yeah. Ross, my husband, has taught me two or three times and you it just goes to. In one ear and out the other.
You don't need to these days. They're all fixed plugs. You don't have to put
see,
a plug
I didn't even
anything.
Know that. Yeah.
You're not allowed to do it. In fact, they're so fixed that they have three sort of loops around the bottom of the plug so you can't take the wire out of the plug.
See, here you are sort of like pretending to be a kindred spirit with me who never reads instruction manuals and doesn't know things, but you clearly know a lot of things.
No, but I learned it from my mum.
Yeah.
She taught me quite a few things before she died.
My mother, I remember when I was a kid and she was fixated on me wasting electricity on using the clothes dryer.
We don't use a clothes dryer.
So one time I went to use the clothes dryer and she had actually just hacked off the plug.
No.
Talk about, that's my mum all over, cut off nose despite own face. But
that is fantastic. So how does she dry? Because we don't use it because of environmentally we don't use it.
No, same. But I think she just had to wait. Did she do the flick
and hang?
I don't know what she did. But the thing is, it's like in the middle of winter, it rains a lot in Australia, no matter what people think. It's not like Neighbours at all. And I worked on Neighbours and I can tell you it's not like Neighbours.
Even Neighbours isn't like Neighbours.
Even Neighbours is not like Neighbours. Even Neighbours is just, you know, people pretending to live in that cul-de-sac. Whereas sometimes it rains because it's in Melbourne.
But do you know, I have an idea of Australia just being sunny all the time. As I said, I've never been. And I've got family over there, but I just imagine it just a place of sunshine and barbecues.
Well, there's a lot of barbecues and a lot of barbecues under an umbrella because Australians are determined to barbecue rain, hail or shine.
Good for
them.
But
there's a lot of rain, especially in Sydney.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my ignorance.
I know. Apologies. That's everyone's illusion shattered there. And we've got a lot of Aussie listeners, so back me up here.
Oh, so. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry that I had that lovely idea that Australia is just a smiley, happy, sunny place.
No.
Is it smiley happy?
Oh, yeah, mostly, I guess. Yeah, I haven't lived there for a long time.
Is it happy?
I think so. Are you happy, Aussies? Let us know. Yeah. Probably were until I started talking about Australia and how much.
But actually, every Australian I've ever met and every New Zealander I've ever met, they just have a wonderful way about them.
Not those New Zealanders. They're the worst.
I like them.
No, I'm joking.
I know you are.
It's like the Americans and Canadians. We like our rivalry.
But they are lovely people.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. Do I know any New Zealanders? I must do. Yeah, probably.
I'm sure you do. You know everybody.
The only one I can think of right now is Dan Wootton from The Sun.
Yeah. Not a lot I can say to that.
So, instruction manuals. I don't know. I think I've got a whole basement full of them. And the thing about them is, why can't they just stick the thing that you need? Like how to turn something on.
Sorry, just stop. What did you just say?
What?
You've got a basement of instruction manuals.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a cupboard where they just all are. And I don't know what any of them are for.
So you've kept them as well?
My husband keeps them.
For everything?
Yeah. Yeah, he's got a real thing about it. And it really annoys me when storing them vindicates him in some way, when something really goes wrong with an appliance.
Oh, you're talking big. So you're talking boiler, freezer.
No, I'm talking boiler, freezer, toaster, bread machine, everything. Oh. Absolutely everything.
We have those big ones that my husband keeps.
Yeah, I cannot be bothered.
Not the little ones.
No.
We just got a new radio so we could listen to Chris downstairs as well, because I actually got fed up with using my phone. We got a new radio, and I got it from John Lewis, and it was in the sale. It's really nice radio, actually, and it's DAB, purely DAB.
Lovely.
And I unpacked it from the box. No manual. Just plugged it in.
I like that. I respect that about that John Lewis radio. That it's like, you know, look, we know you're not going to read it. We are not going to lift a finger to tell you how to use this, because we know you're not going to read it, are you?
But guess what happened?
It doesn't work.
No, it works.
Yeah.
But guess who in the family went looking for the instruction manual?
Well, not you.
It was me.
Why?
Because I thought, hold on, where's the mat? So I could throw it away. So I could put it in recycling. Because I'm so used to unpackaging something and then putting it to one side and putting it into recycling. So I thought, I honestly was looking around, thought I've dropped it somewhere.
This is a game changer. I think that this is like, do you think that maybe companies are finally working up to, well, the people who are going to read it are very few and far between. And then maybe they will be the spocky ones who go online to read the instruction manual.
Can you get them online?
I bet you can, yeah. We were in our car the other day, and it's a relatively new car, and a little light went up on the dashboard, and my husband said to me, has that light been going off? And I went, yeah, I think so. And he said, what does it mean? I said, I don't know. And so while we were sitting in the car and I was driving, he Googled it.
Yeah, no, I've done that with our car.
Yeah.
What car can I ask?
It's a Mitsubishi.
Is it a big?
It's a sort of like a cross. It's not a car. It's not a SUV. Sort of Jeepy size hybrid plug-in.
That's what we've got. We've got a hybrid plug-in.
Yeah,
and I think since we've had it in October, we've put.
That's when I got mine.
One tank of petrol in, and that's it.
Yeah, it's amazing. And in fact, we got a note on it the other day. A little thing came up on the dashboard and said, you need to drive this using some of the petrol because the petrol's getting too old. And that actually came up and said something
really?
Like that on the
Can
dashboard.
That happen?
Yeah, because that's how little petrol we use.
That's the same with us. I've filled it once and it's now 3/4 full.
Yeah.
And
you're walking everywhere.
We charge that every day.
But also, and that's the thing, I'm driving this car and Ross is saying, you know that you can do this, you can press that button and it'll do this. And I'm like, no, I don't, because he's read the instruction manual and I've just got in and turned it on and driven.
How many, can I ask how many miles you get for a plug-in?
I think this is the thing, I wonder how much it's costing me in electricity, because we plug it in for many hours at a time and that gets about 25 miles.
We're the same.
Yeah.
How we do. This is my husband. He's very, very keen environmentalist and I'm learning a lot from him. And I say I am, but nothing like as much as he is. And he's been involved for years and years and years. And we have solar panels. So our car gets charged through our solar panels.
Oh, that's clever. Wow.
Isn't that good?
That is really good.
In the middle of London.
That's so environmental. I'm trying to be more eco-friendly with my hybrid plug-in.
Do you have a water butt? We're getting a water butt.
What are you saying about my butt? What?
a water butt.
What's a water
so
butt?
So it's the rainwater drains off and then you can water your garden.
Oh, yeah. That's
that
a good idea.
Flush the loos.
Oh, everybody get a water butt. Yeah.
We were actually looking online at different style water butts.
Different styles of butts.
Yes.
Yeah. Get yourself an attractive...
Can I just tell you that the girls were giggling downstairs because they heard us. I was saying, oh, I know that butt's okay.
Yeah.
And the girls honestly went into carry-on mode and it was double entendre time.
I'm afraid,
Mom, which butt do you like? I went, I like the butt you can paint.
Well, I've just, you know, shown myself up to be the same mental age as your young daughters.
So. I actually was crying laughing. There is nothing better than double entendre carry-on humour. I love it. I love it. It's so innocent.
Well, I'm going to let you get on and, you know, choose your butt. Choose your water butt. I think we are, you know, we're driving our plug-ins. I haven't bought any new underwear since the 90s.
Yeah.
We're reasonably sustainable.
Yeah, and I go shopping in my wardrobe. Shopping in your wardrobe.
Oh, you do. I love shopping in your wardrobe. Let's talk about that for a second.
Well, shopping in your wardrobe is just going into your cupboard and but you do it as well. I love your clothes my husband hates. I just love that.
Well,
but you go back and you wear things that you've had for years and you put it with things that you've never put them with before. And that's the trick of shopping in your wardrobe.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that... And it is every single day somebody stops me when I'm walking and says, oh, look, I've been shopping in my wardrobe. This is from so-and-so. Because we're becoming more sustainable about that. But it also makes you feel good. And a lot of us can't afford to go shopping every day. Like some of these Instagrammers who, and we know that they get lots of free stuff.
And also they're just sort of borrowing it and sending it back.
And but they stand there and they do, it's no good for a podcast, but I'm doing that pose. You know, they stand there and go, oh, you know, so I do silly poses with my stuff. But I do like to go shopping. I love shopping. But I'll go to Zara, I'll get one bit and I'll add it to something that I haven't bought. It does make you feel better. If you can't even afford to go and get something new, go back into your cupboard and put on something that you've saved for best. Put it on with trainers or put it on with jeans. Tuck in a short dress that you don't wear anymore and make it into a
stick
top.
Stick a jumper over a dress and have a top and a skirt. I love doing that. I love, if I've got a bit of time every now and again, just going through and finding things that I hadn't realised before go together.
Oh, completely. Yeah. And it's also, it makes you feel good. You feel like you've been shopping even when you can't afford it.
Yeah.
And the amount of times that somebody's like, oh, is that new? No, I've been shopping in your wardrobe.
Smug.com.
Yeah.
It's a good feeling, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. Gabby Roslin, I knew you'd be the most perfect guest and you have been today. Thank you for doing Is It Just Me with me.
No, I'm so thrilled you asked me.
And I'm very sorry that you missed James, but I think...
Yeah, can you send him my love?
Well, you and I are the best ones.
Can you wish him good luck for the thing?
I will do, although we're both very superstitious about being wished good luck for celebrity events. But
why?
Oh, because, you know, the minute people start saying to me, it's going to be great, is when it all goes to rubbish.
What you really, the most important thing as a performer, the most important thing you have to remember is the dress rehearsal has to go really badly.
Yeah.
Because then the real thing will be great.
That is, let's get that on a T-shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
that's a
beautiful message to end on.
Okay,
Gabby Roslin, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening, everybody, and see you next time on Is It Just Me?
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.